Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Good evening, good night, good morning, good second breakfast, wherever you are, whenever you are listening to us. This is Lunatic Monday. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to the very first and only, so far, bilingual show on Pagans Tonight Radio Network for Witch School, of course. And today we have an excellent show. We have two excellent people today with us. We're going to be talking about the seven hermetic principles in magic. And first, I'd like to read a little bit of my lovely guest, Carolina Amor. I'm a little disconnected because I haven't been live on this show in like a month. It feels weird. But anyway, Carolina Amor, she is a Reiki master teacher. She is also an astrologist and a tarot reader. She is an archpriestess on the Fellowship of Isis. She's participated on Paco Pagans Activist Conference Online, and she's also participated on the Parliament of the World Religions in 2015. She's an Archdruid for the Fellowship of Isis, and she's fantastic. And she's also my friend. Welcome, my dearest Carolina Amor. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's so nice to be here again. It feels like I haven't been in the show forever, so I'm excited about it, and thank you for the introduction.
Thank you for being here, and now let me, last but not least, introduce my dear friend and partner on many shenanigans, Aaron Marsh. Aaron is a Chicago-based entrepreneur, owner of Nika Coffee Bar, and a magician. He is currently a member of the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, where he has served on the board of directors and currently serves as a spiritual mentor. And in a very gonzo fashion, I will say, Aaron, are you there?
I'm here.
He's
Hello.
Here. How are you, honey?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be live on this show again. Last week we had all kinds of technical difficulties. This show has not been live in Spanish in over a month. It feels extremely
weird.
Wow. Yeah. We've been doing repeating shows. We've been having no show on two occasions. It's just weird. But, hey, we're here. We're queer. Well, that's another thing. We're here. We're here to talk about the seven hermetic principles. And I know both of you were working on trying to do an introduction, and I don't know if any of you actually did work on a little bit of an introduction about the hermetic principles. If you did, that's great. If you don't, if you didn't, then we're just going to jump right into it.
I'm happy to jump in if that's all right.
Please do.
Okay. So what I expect we'll be going through are seven principles that are laid down in a work called The Kybalion, which is really popular amongst current generation of magicians, philosophers, hermeticists, etc., and has had a lot of influence in neo-pagan practices. And in The Kybalion, It claims to be presenting the wisdom that has influenced the great religions and philosophers throughout time, and that it's quoting ancient texts and then giving like a commentary on that text. The ancient text probably does not exist. The Kabbalion was published in 1908 here in Chicago, where at least I'm calling from. So it's a great piece of local history that we have here, and was probably written by a local author slash publisher at Yogi Publishing Society. And the man who ran that was William Walker Atkinson. It's attributed on the cover to the three initiates, so there probably were two other co-authors with him, but it's not positive who they were. Paul Foster Case was most likely one of the other ones, and there's actually a little legal case. Yeah, there was a little like legal snafu that happened a few years back that would enforce that likelihood. Paul Foster Case started and ran BODA, the Builders of the Adenum, and they still are very much active and run a great correspondence course in tarot. The third person is a lot less easy to figure out, but it is likely that there were three authors. They were all alive around the turn of the century and had some affiliation with Chicago, and that's where it was published. And the Kabbalion claims, again, to be Hermetic philosophy. And it's not what would traditionally be called Hermeticism. And that can go down like a whole nother hole. What are we talking about Hermeticism? But basically what we have that we would call Hermetic is philosophy that came from a group of manuscripts that together is called the Corpus Hermeticum and was translated around the 1500s. One piece that often gets attributed also to Hermetic philosophy is called the Emerald Tablet. The Emerald Tablet is short, was probably written around medieval times, and has kind of floated around ever since then. Isaac Newton wrote a popular English translation. And to me, the Kabbalion seems to be a commentary on some ideas in the Emerald Tablet, translated and updated to what would have been kind of like cutting edge, semi-scientific and philosophical thought around 1908. So it was a way to kind of understand some of these types of ideas for the modern man at that time. Side note, the Emerald Tablet, again, which was probably written around the medieval ages, but also gets attributed to the Corpus Hermeticum, is where we get our as above, so below, which is common in most modern philosophy, neo-paganism, a big part of Wicca. The second line in the Emerald Tablet states, that which is below is like that which is above, and that which is above is like that which is below, to do the miracle of only one thing. That definitely corresponds with what we'll be talking about with the seven laws in the Kabbalion. The Kabbalion only kind of gets in mostly to that, kind of like where man fits in this idea of a mental connection with divine consciousness. The Corpus Hermeticum, besides that, goes into a lot of other things. But the Kabbalion focuses mostly, as I understand it, on that concept, and again, kind of updates it and translates it to what would have been a modern 1900s, and kind of what a lot of us are doing nowadays too, you know, trying to reinterpret these philosophies to go along with modern updates in quantum physics and our understanding now of the universe being different than what it was in the medieval and Renaissance times. And with that, maybe we'll jump into what the laws are and see if there's anything else Carolina has to say.
Mm-hmm. So with that, Carolina, if you have anything to add about the introduction?
No, that was amazing. I honestly did not know that it was published in Chicago. I came across this book many
Chicago.
Years ago. That's awesome. Like, I learned something new today. But yeah, I came across this manuscript many years ago in Argentina when I was living there. And this is the first book that really brought me to this tradition. So for me, this book is really important. I didn't know all the story behind the publishing, but I definitely have taken it as sort of like the Bible in the beginning, the principles that were guiding me, and I was sharing it with some people in my family. So definitely, like, it's interesting to hear the other side, and I'm very aware of the Emerald Tablet as well. And I worked with those two together many, many, many years ago. So I'm definitely
very
up
cool.
for, like, jumping into the laws and start talking about it.
Yep.
Yes,
well, before we do that, Aaron, I need you to come a little closer so I can put a golden star on your forehead. There you go.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to do the dynamic. This show was done in Spanish about a month ago, and it was supposed to be done in English about a month ago, but the way we did it is I would read the principle as it appeared in the Kybalion, and then you two will comment on your personal application on your magical practice. And I may or may not jump in because you guys are amazing, so I'll be a host tonight and just let you do your thing. So the first
Beautiful.
Principle will be the principle of mentalism, and it reads, the all is mind. The universe is mental. So ladies first, I guess?
Please.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. This principle for me is all about, I guess when I look at it, I believe they sort of like make it into a movie when they created a movie called Inception, when we were living within dreams and between dreams. And the way I see this principle is like everything is mental, and we are part of the mental picture of the divinity, whatever we call that divinity or higher self. And after that, everything that we do is like a mental construct. So that gives us the power to be able to shift and change and move the energy in order to be able to manifest what we want. It's interesting because we also have a lot of different things in this world where there is like the negative side, right? We have groups like terrorism and attacks and things like that. So we wonder why we are having those images and why the mind of the divine is projecting that. And in reality, what is projecting that image is the society we live in and the fear we live in. And because the lower vibration energy is so high and it's so easy to bring to this plane that we are right now, we can see those things, but I don't think the divine is thinking about attacks. It's more like it's a projection of our own minds, and again, everything is reflected in the whole and how we live it. And these days we are very aware because we have the internet, and we have TV and satellites, and we see everything. But in other times where people didn't have the technology, they may not have been aware of the things that they were happening in the other side. And in that sense, we can see that it was a projection of the different areas that the people were living in. But definitely, like, I do believe like everything is mental, and we are like a creation of a mental construct. With that, I give it to you, Aaron.
Sure. One, just something that's really popping in my mind right now is this is where we get a lot of new thought philosophy, like you know, like think and grow rich. Or, you know, the law of attraction, be like whatever it is you want and you will get it. And that's and this was definitely an influence on that. And so there is a kernel of truth. We do create our existence by pure mentalism. Everything that exists, you know, did exist as an idea first. All is mind. plays with a concept which we'll get in a little bit later, but between polarity and vibration as well. So we all have our individual mind, and then there is the divine mind, or what might be easier to say is like divine consciousness, but divine mind with a capital M as opposed to our mind. A lot of our personal circumstances created by the way we live our life, the things that we expect, and then therefore bring about creations of our personal mind, the lower mind, the larger construct, the universe, and the laws that we have to abide by while we're guiding, while we're working through the universe, aspect of the larger mind with a capital M. But because of ideas of like vibration and polarity and correspondence, there's an idea that we can, especially through magic, through ritual, through theurgy, we can tap our mind into the divine consciousness, to the mind with a capital M, and thus become a conduit for even higher states of creationism. And I think, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Any other thoughts, Laura?
I am like Hunter. I didn't have enough caffeine in my system for tonight's show. No, I didn't. by the way, I like to say hi very quickly to all the people that are already connected in the chat room. The always present homework, Hunter Dowell, Darren, Circulo de Isis, who is Carolina Moore, and all the guests. And if you like to participate directly in the chat, you can create your Blog Talk Radio account with your Facebook account so you can participate in the chat. And, of course, I coincide with what Aaron said, you know, that this is a principle that is very much utilized on the New Age thought school. But it's not only about the mind. We also have to put action in what we want to manifest magically when we
sure.
put it on our mind.
Sure.
And but yeah, it all begins with a thought, I learned with you, Aaron, when we were studying the circles within the circle, that
mm-hmm.
we create twice. We create on our mind first, and then we create on our world of matter. So it's very interesting that everything that we create is created twice, first in the power of our mind and thus in the power of our divine self or higher self or whichever name you want to call it. So thank you both for your comments and your apportations. My English is rusty today. I don't know what's wrong with me. I apologize. Okay.
You're used to being in Spanish now.
I guess. I don't know.
You want to do it in Spanish?
I don't think so, honey. We have English
okay.
audience tonight.
Okay.
Which will not be a problem because the three of us speak Spanish, but no. So it needs to be done in
okay.
English. We have our people here in English listening. And obviously, you know, it stays recorded and it stays in the archive so people could listen to it later. So I'm going to take a deep breath and read the second principle. The principle of correspondence, as above, so below, as below, so above. We all know this, but what does it mean to you? And we're going to alternate the order in which we comment. So I will let Aaron go first. Yes, we're going to be switching around. unless you're not ready. If you're not ready, I'd like Carolina to go first.
No, it's fine. A great place to start with this is the idea of, again, things starting in a mental idea first, right? So before, this is one that gets used a lot, before there was chair, there was an idea. The idea was like, I want to rest. And then it was like, oh yeah, chair. And the chair is going to look like this. So you have this corresponding idea coming down in sort of like consecutive of what the physical thing will be before to the physical reality. This thing still exists on all those planes, right? The image itself still exists. the design concept of what it's going to be. The more abstract concept of rest still exists, as does physical chair. That one plays with the idea of correspondence between us again in the mind, or the physical world in the mind. Around the physical world, we also have this idea of things that are like each other will share some resemblance, or the doctrine of correspondence, the doctrine of signatures, which is since everything was created again by a divineness, those things that have similarities in the physical world have that kind of same root idea somewhere in the divine mind. So a leaf pattern that is heart-shaped at some point shares a divine connection with an actual heart. So maybe it's good to cure heart ailments. Maybe it's good for spell work where you're trying to influence someone's heart. But at some point, between the divine consciousness and the physical plane, there is a link between all three things.
Excellent. Caro, adelante.
Yeah, and I think, looking at it, it's like every one of the principles really like works as a whole with the others, because I think when we are talking about different things, we cannot leave the other ones aside. Many of them are really interrelated. And in here,
yes,
with correspondence, it is definitely like being able to use the different elements to tune in. And I think in the magical world or the pagan world, we have used this principle when we look at the different things that we want to tune in with. Like, hey, let's look at the phases of the moon, or let's look at the planets, or let's look at the colors. Let's look at the type of magic we want to use. And in all that correspondence, what we are trying to do is to connect our mind to be able to believe what we want to manifest and bring it forward from that idea into the physical plane, which is more dense than the idea place where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely like using the different elements, and we want to tune them all in and align them so we can create that manifestation. And definitely, if we believe it inside, we can definitely project it outside. And that's where it comes, like, from within, so without, and as above, so below, in the sense of, like, we are a microcosm of a macrocosm, and we are all like a circle within a circle, like Laura was saying before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great analogy, and a much better example, the elements themselves. And if you look at our personal, like our personal mental emotional states, which we often correlate or assign to the elements. So we have our passion and force of will, and think, okay, on a macrocosm, like the most macrocosm, what is that manifest as? And you might say electricity or lightning or the Big Bang, as opposed to determination, which might be solid foundation, earth, mountains, things like that. And you start to get, draw the lines between our personal makeup and the elements.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to go to read the third principle now. One of my favorite ones, because my father used to say all the time that everything vibrates. And, of course, it's the principle of vibration that reads, nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. Carolina, what can you add to that?
I think vibration is almost everything. And when we use it in a sense of our like normal lives, people can tell you anything. Things can say like it's a different thing, but what is really like true and honest is the vibration of the situations, the vibration of the things, the vibration of the thoughts. So whatever we vibrate at, we attract, and that's where we want to be trying to aspire to be in a high vibration instead of a low vibration energy. So we can attract more of the high vibration energy. And that's why I was saying in the beginning that we have a lot of like different aspects that are coming from the, you know, common mind or the people's mind, where there are based on fear, jealousy, envy, competition, all those low vibration energies that are projecting into what we see as a reality. And if we are able to rise our vibrations and get above and be in more like compassion, love, unconditional love vibration, we are able to really like expand much better, and we can see the synchronicity of life, and we feel like we are in the flow of things instead of being like pushing and pulling and fighting the current, because that's the thing. Vibration is something we feel. We don't think it, even though everything is mental. Again, our compass is really like a feeling compass, because we cannot like use our mind for everything. We have to use all of it. And I think our heart is the one that really tastes the vibrations of the things that we have around.
Sharon, go ahead, please.
The principle of vibration is pretty compatible with increased understanding right now of like physics, and I might get this wrong, but I think the idea is that now it seems that most particles are actually waves, and that everything, you know, like particles of existence seems to travel as waves. And, you know, that's a great visualization of how things really are vibration in the movement of waves. Just a couple quick cool analogies. Musicians, like piano players, if you hit an A on a keyboard, you're mostly hitting the note that, you know, the actual A that you hit. So say like A above middle C, whatever, or a G string on a guitar. But in that, there's going to be tones that are an octave higher and lower, and on, you know, two octaves higher, two octaves lower, even though that's not the note you're hitting. And similarly, when we're doing some, like the ceremonial magic, a lot of the modern post-Victorian, like ceremonial magic uses a vocalization style called vibration, where you're creating through the vibration of your voice. Combining some of these things together, you get the idea that not only can we influence things by vibration, but we can cause ourselves to be evolved and influenced by bringing in vibrations of what we seek. So if I'm in a ritual setting, if I'm trying to create a ambiance and a vibration of Mars per se, I myself am going to be affected by those vibrations in return. Not only am I affecting the environment by bringing in this martial essence, but the parts of me that are in line with Mars as well are going to be evolved and enlarged as well. So just like, you know, again, hitting that one note, the ones that are similar to it also get affected and vibrate, and the strings that are similar to it will also vibrate minutely.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much like the ripple effect, no, or the butterfly effect.
how when you affect your vibration and when you heighten your vibration, then you affect the ones around you. And then the opposite, if you're in a lower vibration, then you're
exactly.
also going to affect those around you. Excellent, guys. I mean,
sure.
There's very little
and we
room
can,
for me
but,
to
but,
add
but
anything.
We can get that, but we can get that, like, what's neat to me about that is we can, like, cause the inverse to happen to us on purpose. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, by invocation or by summoning or evocation and summoning deities and spirits around us, like us being affected by their vibration, but on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go with the fourth principle, the principle of polarity, that reads,
mm-hmm.
everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are but half truths. All paradoxes might be reconciled. So go ahead, Aaron.
Sure. This is an interesting one. And on its surface, it's saying, you know, there is something and there is its opposite. And, you know, everything in existence is like that. But it's also teaching that they're not exactly opposites. They are the same thing, and you can kind of fluctuate on a scale, but that in some way they're identical. You know, we can look at this idea of polarity, you know, without darkness, there is no light. Without silence, there is no sound. Things like that. This one, to me, is a little bit a product of its time, and I do think moving forward, some things are going to evolve either beyond duality or you know, beyond these binary existence. But in many other cases, polarity is a really easy way. Understand a lot of things about existence, but so you have again, like, kind of a scale, and these things are always going to be connected. So they don't have to be opposed, and they're definitely not separate. But at some level, they're the same, and you kind of can follow more along a grade between one end and the other.
Okay, Aaron, your connection is failing a little bit. So
okay.
I'm going to ask you not to move.
Sure. Okay.
Lift your arm, be the antenna. I think we got everything, right? We got most everything that he said.
And I'm sure it was enough.
it was enough. Thank you so much. What I'm going to ask you, because after Carolina's application for the principal, we're going to go into a musical break. So if you want to... at any moment, if you want to hang up and call again, that will be the best.
Okay.
So, Carolina, go ahead with your comment, please.
I don't know what's happening to my puppy, but she's going crazy. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so polarity. Oh, my God. Okay. Let me go
she
to the other
room. She wants to participate. She wants to participate on the show.
She's not very happy with this polarity thing, I think.
I guess not.
It's like, you know, she does not like polarity and she's screaming. But yeah, I think for me, I definitely agree with Aaron in the sense of, like, I think this principle is a little outdated in the sense of, like, things are not binary anymore. But when I learned it many years ago, the way I thought it was sort of like a pendulum going from one side to the other. And there is so many things in between. So I think the opposites are just the same in a different, like, spectrum. But then you have all the things in the middle. So you have to take into account that. And... like, for me, the polarity also feels a little bit of like an absolute, like it's either black or white, You know, it's either good or bad. And I don't feel like, you know, that was the intention of the principle. And I think it's like, actually, it's all one in a sense. And even though we have the polarity, we still have the all one, no matter what polarity it is. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah. I would let you add, Aaron, if you remember what we talked about the pendulum before. I don't know if you remember.
On our own or on the show?
On our own, we have comment about the pendulum and how things, when they're like going so much to one side, they're ready.
But you know what? That's the next principle. So.
Okay. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to a musical break very quickly, in honor to Nightcap and Aaron and Wendy Rule, because she was live at Nightcap about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Lovely.
And then, in reminiscence of that wonderful concert that we witnessed, we're going to listen to Wendy Rule and this one of my favorite songs that is called Dating. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Thank you for staying in tune. Thank you for staying on the line. This is Lunatic Mondays. My name is Laura Gonzalez. And for those who listen to the show in Spanish, you know every other lunes is en español. Los lunes es en español, every other Monday. And next week we will have as a guest Santi Alarcón from Colombia. He's going to be talking about the Pagan Pride Day in Colombia. On August 29th, we will have Dario Palma, and he's going to be talking about Kabbalah, and that's going to be in Spanish. And on September 12th, my dear Carolina Moore, she's coming back in Spanish. On the 12th, she's going to be doing tarot readings and oracle readings along with Dario Palma and myself. We're going to have a tarot night that night. For those who speak English and listen to this show in English, August 22nd, we have our very own Chicago Pagan Pride coordinator, Twyla York. She's going to be here on August 22nd. On September 5th, we're going to have a special show talking about suicide prevention. People from the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention will be here talking about the walk on Chicago and talking about suicide prevention. That is going to be fantastic. On September 19th, Carolina Moore comes back along with Rosemary Nustelic and myself doing oracle readings and tarot readings and all that good stuff about oracles and divination and future. It's going to be great. So please stay tuned. Stay tuned, Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. If you have any suggestions, ideas, comments, or complaints, you can find our page on Facebook. It's called Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. And we're back with Carolina Moore and Aaron Marsh. Aaron Marsh and Carolina Moore. Everybody here?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm still here.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay, so I will be reading the next principle, which is the principle of rhythm, that reads, everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swings manifest in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. Who was first? Who was next? I can't remember if it was Carolina or Aaron.
I'll go, just because we were talking about, we kind of left off on this anyways.
Yeah, please.
The principle of rhythm, moving from the principle of polarity, that shows that opposing forces actually exist on a scale and are at their essence the same thing. The rhythm then shows the pendulum swing that tends to go from one side to the other. And that by becoming aware of where you are on that spectrum, you can either choose to move or you can move by replicating the states that would be located somewhere else on that spectrum, or you can stay there, you know. But on the macrocosm, then you see this happening around you. And so then your personal rhythms, you know, may be in tune, may be off tune with wider fluctuations of the macrocosm around you. Kind of right now, you know, you see this in culture in general, you know, things become more one, I'll just use an example. Like, so there's like a big sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s, big conservatism in the 80s, you know, and then slowly it starts to become more liberal again in the 90s, and you know, and it goes back and forth.
Okay. Thank you so much, Aaron. Carolina, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for me it's more like the ebb and flow, right? You cannot have one without the other, and you have to have a little bit of both at a time. So you go from that balance between maybe like Aaron was saying, you know, going from Democratic to Republican and Republican to Democratic and trying to balance it out. I think in the end, what we are looking at for some sort of like equilibrium or harmony between the opposites. Because the opposites make us feel uncomfortable. It's either one or the other. And when we have one or the other, we have a very divided mindset. We have a very good or bad energy. So we try to find the middle point where there is some equilibrium. And I think that's where the rhythm goes. We flow and we try not to be swayed by either one of the polarities and try to keep our center. I think that's part of the work with rhythm and be able to be movable and flexible and be able to be swayed by whatever we need to do so we keep that that center and that equilibrium.
I think this resonates with me very close to the heart because Aaron knows that I tend to be very extremist, and this principle is teaching me, you know, to kind of like, okay, don't be more to one extreme, kind of like balance it out and move like a swing from one side to the other. And not only in magic, or rather in our everyday life, which is a magical life, it is a great teacher, you know, the principle of rhythm, just going with the flow. I'm saying that to myself, as you might imagine, Aaron. Okay.
Push the river. Don't push the river.
God.
Just go with the flow.
She only know me a little bit, Aaron. She don't know me as well as you do, honey. But let's enough about Laura.
Okay.
Let's go to the next principle, the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law, not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. Carolina, go ahead.
Okay, so this principle is like if you put one thing, you will get one thing back. And in a sense, it's definitely whatever you are projecting, you will get back. I think in the Wicca tradition, they took this principle and they multiply it. So it's like the three times coming back to you. So I think they were trying to make it clear that you don't want to put out any bad energy because it's going to come back to you. And I don't know if it's going to come back to you in three times, but it's going to come back to you, and it's not going to be nice. So you want to be aware of that type of, like, energy that whatever you project, it sort of, like, bounces back. So you want to be able to sort of, like I was saying with vibration, right? You want to be in the higher vibration and try not to send any vengeful energy or anything like that, because at the end of the day, you have to give your explanations to whoever you meet, right? And in the Egyptian pantheon, which is the one that I'm very accustomed to or that I use a lot, is where we are weighing the heart against the feather, and if the heart is heavier, you do not go on. You just have to pay for your deeds. And I think karma is another word that is very used for this principle of cause and effect, that is very popular. It also talks about that. So I think we all live with, like, sort of like the golden rule, do to others what you want others to do to you. And I think that is a great principle. Aaron.
Yeah, this is another iteration or expenditure on, like, the laws of mentalism and the laws of correspondence, where we get this law of attraction idea. Everything that happens for a reason, and you know you can make these things happen. But there's another side to it too, which I think you might say this, that you know you don't really believe coincidence, or it's one of those coincidences that isn't really a coincidence. It goes into that too, because if everything is affected by a cause, there is no coincidence. There was something that caused all these things to happen. Only you may not know the cause. The cause may not be visible to you, and you may not be supposed to know it, but there is a clear pattern of cause and effect happening, thus no coincidence. Everything is going to be synchronistic, and everything is going to be in the flow of magic and the flow of the universe. Yep, that's it for me.
And talking about the principles of magic, you know, Marty Couch, my teacher for many, many years, used to say, we don't know what happens when we do magic, but what we know is that we do something and something happens in return. We don't know how it's affected. We don't know in the magical world how things are being moved. He utilized the example of the ball. You throw the ball on the wall and you don't know if there's a fan or if there's another wall or if there's another ball altogether. But it comes back to you. And it's very important in magic, I think. So excellent. Excellent, guys. We're going very quickly, actually. We're going to the last one. And yay. I know we all going to have a lot to say with this principle. All of us will have a lot to say because it's the principle of gender. And it reads, gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes. Carolina, go ahead.
Okay, so, and you know my points in here, Laura, because I was in the Spanish version of this show, so it has not changed. But it is interesting. I think when I started studying this manuscript or this book, I was in Argentina and my world was pretty much, you know, feminine and masculine and gender. And then I moved to the U.S. and the U.S. opened like the big doors of what gender is about. And I think I had a lot of exposure to gender that I was not aware of. So it began with, like, you know, what is your pronoun? Or we are gender neutral. And so there is a lot more. And I think this, again, like we were talking about polarity in the past, with that binary mindset, I think gender falls within the same parameter of, like, it's a bit outdated for the world we live in today, where we have to look at the world in a different way. And here, at least in the States, we are having a lot of like situations with gender and who can use what bathroom and what gender are you. So I think it's like this is one of those principles that definitely could be revisited. And I think, yes, we all have masculine and feminine, but we may all have it in the same level, so it becomes neutral when there is no gender. And I think that is something that maybe in the past when this manuscript was written was not contemplated, but now it's something that we may need to incorporate so there is no issues, there is no racism about like what gender is or like discrimination about it. So I think gender is like a hot topic, and I don't think it's just masculine and feminine. There is something in between, and we have to acknowledge that as new witches and new pagans.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely written in dated terminology and using some dated philosophy as well. What's interesting is the principle itself ends up being less about sexual gender and more about creation and repetition. So less gender and sexuality and more generation. It's weird because that's not a real common word in English. I mean, it's common to say of our family, but not in the sense of generating things. But we do have the verb, you know, to generate, even though people don't use it that often. But this principle is really about generating and emanating. And so co-creating the world, creating your own existence, and emanating your, you know, your whatever your art is, whatever your magic is, whatever you're bringing into this world. So all that, right? But it is cloaked in a lot of talk about masculine and feminine principles and ideology, which doesn't hold up as much anymore. Since you went into that really, I think, really well, I'll mention, you know, it's kind of a factor of the Kabbalah, which will be another show for you, Laura, anyway, so we won't go any further into that. But then in the Hermetic concept and in a lot of early creation stories, what it really comes down to is expansion and contraction, or like electricity and magnetism. And these do not have to have any sexual connotations at all, but they are principles that do govern like creation. So, you know, we do have expounding and expansion, which won't make anything, you know, unless decisions and limitation and form is put onto that expansion, which then you have the magnetic or the constricting aspect. And you know what? Cultures don't always label masculine or feminine to those attributes the same. So someone might look at expansion as feminine. Another person might look at expansion as masculine. So that terminology is really dated. But the principle of having all these influences in creation, all these influences in our own being and psyche, and us all being creators of and constantly generating the world around us is still a sound concept, and a good way, I think, to leave the you know, kind of a good final law for it. You know, now go create.
Exactly.
You know?
That's awesome. Yeah, and I like that you say about a contraction and expansion, and definitely it's not only sexual, but I do believe that there is a lot of like attributes assigned to the feminine today that really don't belong to the feminine.
Sure.
As like, you know, having the feminine as passive. And again, I am a feminist, and I
yeah.
So you have the person that has the patriarchy, and I know that this book is it has a lot of the roots of the patriarchy, and that Jewish or God mind in mind when they were writing it. So definitely, like I believe that there has to be a yin and yang, there has to be a passive and active, there has to be a contraction and expansion, and yeah, maybe we don't want to use the gender names to describe that. We just have to use it as like, you know, this is a period of creation, this is a period of just resting and gathering your strength for the next period of creation, instead of saying, oh, okay, this is the feminine period because you are being passive, or this is the masculine period because you are being active and going out and trying to get the things done. So,
totally. No, you can't do that. You're in a feminist group right now, and I'm in a masculine group. I can't do this right now. You know, it's, yeah, the labels, they're outdated.
Something that helped me reconcile with those concepts was a phrase by Christopher Pensack, who says, the labels are not important, but the concepts are.
Yeah.
And I've been very blessed, and Aaron knows this, to hold space for our queer community. And I always open by saying we all have a mother and a father. So we all are a combination of masculine and feminine. However, that does not define us. And like you were saying, guys, there is not a specific attribute that is solely feminine or masculine. So as neo-pagans and as people of the, I don't know, new era of magic or whatever you want to call it, I think it's very important that we recognize that there is a duality, but it's not necessarily tied to you being born with one set of pipe and you know, organs.
Genitalia.
whatever genitalia you have does not give you the attribute of being either more creative or more containing or more active or passive or what have you. That being said, I really like what you said, Aaron, about creation, you know, because that's what it is. It's a co-creation. And it lives within all of us. We all have both concepts or neither, you know, because we know that a lot of people is like, I'm neither. Thank you. So I really like that our pagan community is getting with the times and is adapting all these rituals and is adapting all these words that are so very important for so many people. I, for one, will not like to be reduced to the traditional concepts of femininity. You both know that. Another feminist here. But yeah, I think it's fantastic to see it from the point of view of creation. And most animals, to my knowledge, have a mother and a father. And the concept is important. The label is kind of dated. But with that, we leave the seven principles at peace. And we're hoping that everyone who listens to the show appreciates it and learns from these two wonderful people that were here today. And before we say our final goodbyes, Carolina, can you please tell us where we can find you? We know you're doing tarot readings here and there, and you're doing your sessions and all that. So please tell us everything where people can find you, even before you come back to the show next month.
Okay, so yeah, you can find me. I'm now having a new website. I changed my website, and now it's www.caroamor, and that is caroamor.com. You can find my readings, my classes, my services, everything that I offer. You can find it there. If you are looking more for my priestess work, you still find it in Circle of the Isis, and that is www.circleoftheisis.org. So I'll put it in the chat because it's a little long. But both of them are definitely places you can find me. And, yes, I am doing a lot of, like, readings, and now I'm just working on the Mystic Dream. I stopped working on the other store, the Sacred Well, but right now it's just a Mystic Dream and doing private practice via Skype, phone, or in person if you are in the Bay Area in California.
Okay, there you have it.
Beautiful.
So the first website is www.caroamor.com. The second one is www.caroculoteisis.org. Woo! I did it!
I know! Thank you!
They're both in the chat for that want to see it, and that will be published on the page of the show tonight on the event. And Aaron, what are you up to? What is happening with the Brotherhood? Is there anything interesting that we need to know?
Oh, good question. Well, I, as always, am at Nightcap Coffee Bar in Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to go on vacation for a little bit, so I'll be MIA for about a month. But the Brotherhood of the Phoenix has a soul song ritual open to any man who loves men on August 13th at the Mankind Project Chicago at 7:30 p.m. Again, that's open to, it's a men's circle, so it's open to any men who love men. And August 13th, 7:30 p.m., the Mankind Project, Chicago. At Nightcap, we have a tea and tarot event coming up August 26th. There'll be a assortment of diviners, diviners, tarot, tea leaf reading, runes, astrology, also some lovely selections of teas to drink, biscuits, donuts, things of that nature. And just I wanted to say, if people are interested more about the subject they heard tonight, the Emerald Tablet, you can just do a Google search for that and come across a lot of information about it. Be sure to look for the Emerald Tablet of Hermes as opposed to the Emerald Tablet of Thought, which is a later something else. For the Kabbalion, again, you can find that via Google search or any Amazon.com edition. And for Hermeticism, which really is the philosophical structure and the cosmology that most of our neo-pagan traditions exist in, go back to the Corpus Hermeticum. G.R.S. Mead, M-E-A-D, has a multiple volume edition that was published like this around the early 1900s. But there's also a newer version called The Way of Hermes. And that has an anthology of writers that contributed to the translation. So I won't go into the authors, but it's called The Way of Hermes, and it's a good modern translation, modern scholarly translation though, of the Corpus Hermeticum. Again, kind of the roots of all our modern magic and neo-pagan practices. And is there anything else? I think that's it. Carolina, it was wonderful being able to discuss these with you and get a different insight on each of the laws.
I say the same. It was great meeting you and sharing this show with you. I think it was amazing, and I learned a couple of things from you, so thank you for that.
Likewise. So yes, we'll talk and network again.
Yeah, and I know you're all dying to know where I'm going to be and what I'm doing.
What are you doing,
Laura?
Where
are you doing?
Oh my God, guys, thanks for asking. I'm gonna tell you right now. So tomorrow, like every Tuesday, I will be annoying Aaron at NICAP.
Yay!
Tomorrow, like every Tuesday, we will be doing readings at NICAP from noon till 6. And every Thursday, we are at the World 3 Healing on Albany Park here in Chicago, Thursdays and Saturdays. And then on Mondays, we are doing readings at Satnam Yoga Chicago on the West Loop. That is by appointment. So you can see all that on my page of Tarot by Laura on Facebook. And obviously, we're going to be doing the Tea and Tarot Night at NICAP on the 26th of August. Come and have your tea and your cookies. Aaron bakes the most delicious red wine cookies. They're all great. But the red wine cookies, you got to come and have some of those. And join us. We'll have astrology. We'll have tarot. We'll have rune readings. It's going to be fantastic. So that's on the 26th of August. And obviously, Carolina, we will have you within a month doing divination night. And any last words from both of you to our listeners?
Have a lovely night. Have lots of prosperous magic.
Thank you, Aaron. Carolina?
And I will have to be in Chicago soon for those cookies.
Yes, you're welcome anytime.
Next time I'm over there, I'm going to plan my trip around the cookies, I think.
Okay,
Aaron.
You're very welcome.
But have a wonderful night, and I wish you the best, sending all my love and light to all of you.
Likewise. Okay, good night.
Well, good night. There you have it. That was Carolina Moore and Aaron March talking about the 7 Hermetic Principles. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and this was Lunatic Mondays with the Hermetic Principles. We see you next week. And like always, never forget that you are loved. Good night.
listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.